Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's a joy to be back here in this church. As David says, I remember a number of years back as a student, I came in, and perhaps I was the only black person that time. And I was somewhere here. I used to sit in this corner. And a lady came and shook my hand and invited me for dinner, for tea. They said it's a dinner, tea. And surprisingly, after that, I couldn't recall her face. She got lost and I could not know who she was because, you know, you come from Africa, everybody looks the same. And you go to Africa also, you think everybody look the same. Took me a while to discover she was Kate and she was different from other people and she's unique. So I thank God for that time because I've never forgotten her. She became really a part and a parcel of our life, and she made me feel home in Edinburgh each time I came over here. My wife Rhoda and the children send their love. They are no longer small as they were. Joyce is turning 18. David did not come, but David is turning 24. And Samuel, who was the youngest, is turning 15. I talked to them a few days ago, and they still send their love to all of you. Amen? Thank you once again for welcoming us, David and Maggie. They have just been so good to us. And last night, we were trying to find out how much kilogram do we weigh. And I realized I've gained 3 kilograms. And my brother came a few days, his first time in Europe, and he has gained 4. And this morning we were asking Anne, is your life, really tree life, come from Lydia? You know, the lady who first got saved in Europe and welcomed the apostles. I think if you check keenly, maybe Anne comes from that lineage. She has really made us so fat. Thank you. we are heavy. Turn with me to your Bibles in the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. Philippians 3, 8 to 10. This was Paul writing from prison in Rome. And Paul writes some profound things that I will wish to share with you and maybe add some life stories that God has done or is still doing in our lives. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, 9, and 10 reads, I'm reading from NIV. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, 9, and 10. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ, verse 9, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that come from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, fellowship in his suffering, becoming like him in death. Well, friends, this was Paul, the great apostle, writing in prison in Rome. He's writing to the church in Europe, in Philippi. The Philippine was the first church that Paul founded. And the circumstance behind founding of that church was very critical, because just before the founding of the church, Paul and Barnabas, they had such sharp dispute that Paul decided to go with Timothy, Silas, while Barnabas went along with his cousin John Mark. And in the land where they were, a lady called Lydia, the Bible says God opened her heart, and she received the gospel and pleaded with the apostle Paul and said, if you consider me to be one of you, please come to my home. And I think they must have added several kilograms in that home. Later on, we are told, a lady, a young girl who was enslaved by spirits, went along saying, these are the men of the Most High God. Listen to them. They have a word of life. And after the spirit inside her designed and was saying the right thing, but it was not the right spirit, Paul discovered something is not right. Rebuked the spirit. She came out. She was delivered. But that ended up them having major problem, because they were eventually beaten, jailed for the good cause that they had done. Paul in prison is remembering all that had happened for that church to be opened. And he's writing in his letter, he's saying, Paul's knowledge of Christ kindles the joy that enables him to face the challenges of life. He's in prison. The circumstance is not free, but the joy of the Lord knowledge of the Lord kindles the joy in him, that instead of having pity party, he is rejoicing. He's writing the letter telling them, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Let this be evidence to everybody, because the Lord has done something in your life. I remember my personal life. I think I've shared this in this church many years ago. As a Catholic, brought up in Catholic, studied catechism in Catholic, confirmed, baptized and confirmed, outwardly I was happy. Inwardly I was empty. Until the time somebody graciously shared Christ with me. My pride did not receive it well, despite that by then I was even blind physically. In that year, I had an eye infection that by the end of the year lost my sight. Blind, but still proud. But this man's word never left me the way I was. They caused some curiosity in me, wanting to know more about this God. He took me to his church, my first time in the Pentecostal church, and the man who shared, the word he shared, gave me new relationship with Jesus Christ and deep joy that eventually I got saved, and not only saved, I got my sight instantly. I want to assure you, knowledge of Christ brings joy in life. I remember the joy I got that day, many years back. Having come from a very, very dark village, dark in the sense that in the entire village that I came or I come from, I remember taking one American there sometimes back, Jim Hammond. We drove there and we got there and he said, oh, we had several problems to get there. When I visited in America, he stood to introduce me to speak, and he said, this man come from a place beyond the Great Commission. But I want to assure you, even the places beyond the Great Commission, the Word of God is causing such a joy and bringing transformation. So this morning, I want to share a few things that Paul discovered in these few verses that I want you to see with me. Number one, in verse 8, we are seeing the secret of Paul's joy
was grounded in the relationship with Christ. You remember Paul, before knowing Christ, his zeal to persecute Christians. To him, he thought these guys are weird. They should be getting rid of. And on his way to Damascus, with the zeal permission to persecute, he encountered with the Lord. And Saul is no longer the same. The Bible says he had the voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I said, "Lord, who are you?" And in that very moment, Paul's spirit got transformed. He became no longer Saul, but became Paul. He had that deep knowledge of who God is, who Christ really is. It was no longer the intellectual. It was a personal knowledge. You know, it's amazing that a Greek person or a Greek philosophy can tell you, "I know how to ride a bicycle because I have read and I know the handlebars and I know how to balance and surely can ride a bicycle." A Hebrew will tell you, "I know how to ride a bicycle in their philosophy way of learning because I have read about riding a bicycle and have ridden a bicycle. I have experience of riding a bicycle." I don't know which of the two you'd like to give you a lift. Paul is talking that my knowledge of Christ has given me joy in my life, irrespective of the challenge that I face. My friend, our knowledge of this Jesus Christ makes the difference in life. In verse 7, just a little bit back, Paul says, in verse 7, "But whatever was to my profit, I consider loss for the sake of Christ." You all know the story a little bit about Paul. This guy was a philosopher. This guy was well-learned. When his own Hebrews challenged him, he told them, "Yes, if you think you are a Hebrew, I am the Hebrew of Hebrews. Circumcised on the eighth day from the tribe of Benjamin. So I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews." So if there was anything in the standard of the world to be proud of, Paul had it all together. But he said, "Hey, what people could boast of, to me, I count them rubbish." Why? For the sake of knowing Christ. Many a times, we tend to glory in what we have, in what we have achieved. Or, "I'm just a good person. I've never lied. I don't do this or that." Let me tell you, friends, Isaiah says in Isaiah 64, verse 6, that our self-righteousness, the things that we do that make us feel, triggers our ego. To God, the Bible says they are like filthy rags. Can you imagine being invited to a party and you're putting on rags? And you're invited to dinner with the queen and you have rags on you. Anything that we do on our own to gain salvation is nothing. This is a free gift that God gives to them whom he loves. And it's upon individually to receive it. And when you receive it, you know for sure that you have it. As a religious person, I was happy. I had white clothes, but inwardly, I was filthy. I had all kind of things going on in my heart. But when I encountered with the Lord Jesus Christ, my life was never the same. Surprisingly, it was not only my life. It also brought such a big transformation in our family. Not only in our family, in our village. A dark village today, there's light shining in that village. Friends, I don't know where you are, but I want to assure you, the secret of the joy is not in what we have. Many are seeking for happiness. You know, happiness comes from the happenings. But the joy come from the Lord. May the joy of the Lord fill your heart this morning as you're listening. And may His Spirit continue to fill you that you may discover this secret that Paul discovered. The Paul's secret was the joy that was grounded in relationship. Number two, in verse 8, knowing Christ gives us joy in serving Him. Knowing Christ gives us such joy in serving Him. We had a time with Collins. Collins was my teacher. He taught me the book of Galatians while I was in Bible college. So I was eager to meet him again before he left for Poland. And he told me about, he was telling us about the work they're doing at night in helping those who are weak or those who are in drugs. Leaving the sweet sleep to go outside to help the prostitute, to help drug addicts, to help people. Pastors on the street. What would cause people to do that if it's not the love of Jesus Christ that sees beyond just things? Scotland is cold. And if you're going to go outside to help somebody who's messing his life, there ought to be something more that you're seeing to cause you to do that. Paul writes and says, whatever we do it unto the Lord. Whatever we do, we are doing it that one day the Lord will be seen. I remember where I'm pastoring. You know, all of you knew that I left here before I finished up my course. For those who have been long enough. Because when I was just about to finish, I was called back to go and take over the church because our senior pastor had fallen ill with leukemia. And I took up a church that had about 200. We grew to 600. And I left it to go to another run-down area 5 years ago. But I've seen God work even among the drug addicts. You know, what gives me joy is that God is working as we share His word faithfully. Because whatever we do it unto the Lord. Because God, the knowledge of God gives us a desire to serve Him joyfully. Paul advises the Colossian church in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 25. Working for the Lord, but not man, for we know there is inheritance. No wonder our dear brethren from this church, Joan, my daughter, I call her my daughter, Joan, and many that have come again and again. Sometimes it's not very comfortable. You leave your comfortable zones because there's something you're seeing more than just the comfortable zones. The life that are affected with your going. Not all of you can go. Some of you, because of your giving, you have allowed some life, you have enabled some life to be transformed, and they've seen light. I want to assure you, it is the knowledge of Christ that gives us joy in serving Him, in doing all that we do for His name. The other thing we can learn in this verse is the knowledge of Christ gives us joy to believe or trust in Him. We believe and trust in Him. You remember the story of Job. When situation was so hard, even his own beloved wife, what advice did she give him? You know, this guy, surely, he was thinking. Things are not good. And the wife gave a piece of advice. Darling, sweetheart, whatever name she used, I don't know. But the advice was, cast God and die. If cursing God can bring death, then blessing God can bring life. And the Bible says, in all that, Job never accused or have a different thought with God. In Job 19:25, he says, there's one thing I know. Though my body is broken and is lost, but one thing I know, my Redeemer liveth, and He will take a stand. Knowing God will cause you to have such a joy even in the midst of the difficulties that you could be facing. How much do you know about this God? Have you known him in the area of your life? Can you believe him even when things are tough?
Lastly, our ultimate joy comes from Christ dwelling in us.
Verse 10, Paul is saying a very profound statement in verse 10.
He's saying, I thought by this time Paul had known Jesus.
It's not just yesterday. I mean, this guy has preached, a lot of things has happened. But in verse 10,
read with me. Verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in death.
Prior to that, in chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, Paul is saying, I am torn in between. To die is just a gain. To live is Christ. Saying, I want to know him. Do we have a desire to know Jesus in our business? Even when the world economy is crumbling down, we can still know Jesus and stand for him. I've seen God since we had this post-election violence in our country. When it happened, we had never seen something like that in our life, or we dreamt of anything like that. It happened in a way we never thought of. But God, we have seen God. When that happened, the Lord put in our heart as a little church with no resources to minister to those who are displaced. We went in with nothing. But the Lord used the willingness to go, the willingness to be available, the willingness to stand with people and say, God loves you. And we saw lives transformed. We saw life that were really grown down, lifted up. We have seen them come back to their toes, and we have seen through your prayer, through your help with African Fund, we have enabled a good number of them to run and stand and be able to bring food on the table. Knowing Christ ultimately will mean the joy of wanting to see him in every area of our life that causes us to make a difference in wherever we are. Few people here. Paul joyfully took a stand. Irrespective of what was happening, he took a stand in his time. And we read in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, men and women who knew God, they took a stand. You remember Daniel? The Bible says, those who know their God, they will do exploits. They will do things that people do not expect to see happen. You remember men like William Wilberforce, who stood and said, no, there shouldn't be slave trade. They didn't see the results immediately, but they took a stand, saying, no, something ought to be done. It was then, but about today, there are things that you and I, in whatever situation we are in, we are called to take a stand. And our stand is because we know the heart of God and we are standing with the Lord. When you stand with the Lord, you are the winner. You are the winner. You remember Esther? At her time, she had to stand with the Lord. Say, if I perish, let me perish. But it is after she took 3 good days with the Lord and said, I will go. I will take a stand. Knowing the Lord, like this Samaritan woman, she knew where they worshipped, in the mountain where they would go. But when she encountered with the Lord, she could not help it but to invite the whole city, come and see. When you know the Lord, you cannot help keep it to yourself. It burns in us. Jeremiah says, it burns like a fire within us. Knowing God makes are different, because it generates a joy inside us that we cannot contain by just holding on until we share it out.
Andrew knew the Lord. What did he do? He went to his brother, Simon Peter. "We have found the Lord." And Simon Peter became the great apostle. Philip got to know the Lord. What did he do? He could not help it, but talk about it. He brought Nathaniel. There's a young man, a young family in our church. He reached, in the standard of that life, he's one of those that would say slightly better, because he owns a motorbike, he is a tailor, his wife is a tailor. But somehow, in that standard, his life just became meaningless, and he wanted to kill himself. He wanted to take his motorbike, run head on a vehicle and kill himself. But a thought came to him to go and talk to one of his friends. And his friend told him about God, but it was, "I've always heard about that." But this time, he decided to go to church with that man. So they came to our church. For the first time, the church is just next to this door. So he came in. And the service leader simply said, "How many are visiting for the first time?" He lifted his hands. And he said, "Would you like to get saved?" Whether he wanted or not, I don't know. But he said yes, and he came forward. And the service leader simply just led him. In fact, I even doubted that he got saved because he was so quick. But do you know, man can see from outside, but God looks inside. This man came forward. He was prayed for. In fact, I prayed for him, and he got saved. The next Sunday, I went to Tanzania. It's when I went to do the seminar in Tanzania for African Fund. His wife came and also got saved. This couple has brought so many people to the church since November. To him, every friend of his should get saved. And what he does is, even if they were talking, they would talk and he'd talk and bring them over to church and say, "Pastor George, I have a visitor." And I just sit there. And I know when he comes with a visitor, it's because this man is not saved, and so he's wanting me to lead him to the Lord. And I have trained him. And what we are doing is so simple. In Kisumu, we use a lot of bicycles for transportation, boda boda. So you get on a boda boda, you hire him, you pay him at the end. And while he's riding, simply tell them, "Hey, do you want to know how to make more money?" The guy will be riding the bicycle, but his ears are with me at the back, telling me how to make more money. And I simply tell them the word of God in a very simple version. Without reading the word of God, tell them a simple version that if you can keep away from drugs, just ask a question. You know, among you, those who take drugs, do they have power to ride? Say, "No." You know, among you, those involved in prostitution. And they simply say, "No." Say, "Well, if you can stay away from that, the money you make, you can eat better food. You'll have more strength to cycle and make more money." But there's a problem. The problem is, what you want to do, you don't do. And what you don't want to do is what you find yourself doing. Now, what's the problem? The problem is, man cannot save himself. Man can never, ever save himself. The only way we can be delivered from wherever we are is knowledge of Christ. When we know him, when you encounter with him, it makes the difference. Maybe you're here today and you have known him for many years. Paul is saying in verse 10, "This is what I want to do. I want to know him." I want to know what makes Paul to leave the comfortable zone to go that extra mile. I want to know that. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know, even if it means death, what made people like Martin Luther to stand. It was because they knew who God is. They saw the light at the tunnel, and they say, "Well, all these goodies will go, but I want to stand for the gold, what will last forever." Friends, till this morning, the Lord is putting in my heart to pray. And maybe you are here
and you have a cry like Paul, who is simply saying, I want to know him. There's something in me that wants to know him. If you are here and there's a cry in your heart, you want to renew your relationship with him. If you are here and you want to grow in deep love with him more and more, there's power to make you do that today. Just stand up where you are. Say, Pastor George, pray with me. That joy, the joy that I had when I got saved, may be rekindled once again. Stand on your feet if you need to be prayed for. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. That you reveal yourself to them who are thirsty, to them who long to know you. Lord, in the most difficult situation, you reveal yourself to Paul. And Paul is saying, yes, I want to know Jesus. Here are dear ones. You know their circumstance. You know their situation. You know the challenges of life that they are facing. In Jesus' name, I bring down every forces that is targeted upon them. Yes, every weapons that are formed against them, I bring it down in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will fill them once again. The joy of the Lord will visit them and kindle their heart. Lord, for those who are unwell in their bodies, in Jesus' name, let the joy of the Lord be strength and strengthen their weak bodies. Yes, in Jesus' name, send forth your word and heal them. I speak healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, receive your miracle. Receive the joy of the Lord. Fill your heart now. In Jesus' name, be filled with the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name, let the joy of the Lord fill your heart. In Jesus' name, be filled, be set free, even to know the joy of the Lord. Father, I want to thank you that you hear the prayer of your saints. Right now, I declare these dear ones blessed. Fill them with the joy of the Lord. Fill them with your Holy Spirit once again. And Lord, that something in their heart that cries to know you, as Apostle Paul tells us, will be in their heart, Lord, and make yourself known to their friends, to their family members, wherever they are. Father, speak blessing upon them. And Lord, I want to remember this city of Edinburgh. As they gather together, Lord, for praying with other nations, let your presence visit them. Thank you and bless you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Take your seats. Thank you, David.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, George. Yeah, we appreciate that very much. I think...